What's the strangest thing you're afraid of?
Tails without fur on them, such as rats or possums.
I'm Larry Mullins, host of the podcast Your Weirdest Fears, where we dig into the crazy things you're afraid of. Everything from animal-people hybrids, you know, people who get surgeries to look like an animal, to giant statues.
If I ever saw one of those giant statues, I probably would poop my pants.
Listen and subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast from.
No one's more locked into the NFL than First and Pod.
Why is it not within the realm of possibility that Geno Smith was a victim of a horrible organization, bad offensive coaching, and then went and played behind three high-level talents and only got spot starts and did okay, by the way?
Well, because it's just, it doesn't really happen that often anymore.
Subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Live from the palatial yet not overly ostentatious studios of CBS Sports Radio here in beautiful New York City, sitting on top of the 10th floor of 345 Hudson Street. Welcome on in to a Thursday edition of the Zach Gelb Show across all the great local CBS Sports Radio affiliates, Sirius XM, Channel 158, and that free Odyssey app. 855-212-4CBS, number to jump on in, 855-212-4227. You could always get at me on Instagram, where I'm straight flexing, or via the good old cesspool of Twitter, at Zach Gelb. That's ZACHGELB. We got a lot to do today. Obviously, the Hot Take Hickey is producing this extravaganza, and we'll be here all the way up until 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific. But we got to start off with the best news, obviously, that you're going to hear today. And that was the news that we got a few hours ago, that DeMar Hamlin made remarkable progress. He is now awake. He's been able to communicate via writing. He is still critically ill, but it appears that he's still neurologically intact, and his lungs continue to heal and making steady progress. So that is the latest on DeMar Hamlin. Obviously, from where we were on Monday night, this is phenomenal news. Now, we're going to have Dr. Brandon Erickson join us at 6:20 p.m. Eastern, so in 20 minutes from now, to answer a few questions. But when you heard the story, and we'll play you some audio as the doctors did speak today, Josh Allen did speak, Sean McDermott, and then also T. Higgins as well. When you heard the audio and you saw the series of tweets when the doctors were holding a press conference, when they were discussing when he did open his eyes and was able to communicate via writing, right now, and he was able to ask via writing, did the team win the game or not? That is just, it really just made you feel so good that he was able to do something like that. And also you hear some of the things as well where, more importantly, he's squeezing the hands of his loved ones, and the fact that his eyes are open right now, and also neurologically he seems to be intact, and his lungs are continuing to heal, and you just keep on hearing positive reports after positive reports. It is just absolutely awesome for clearly what is a awful situation and a scary, horrible situation. I just continue to hope day by day we keep on getting these reports, that day by day it just keeps on getting a little bit better, a little bit better, a little bit better. And then we eventually get to see one day DeMar Hamlin walk out of that hospital as we just continue to hear that he's making steady progress. So clearly, this has been an emotional week. There has not been a lot of positivity this week in terms of the reporting. But really, in the last 24 hours or so, we have now seen an uptick and some of that positivity be there. Clearly, there has been a lot of positivity around the situation in terms of what people have done, the millions and millions of dollars that have been donated to his charity, everyone that has been there to support not only the Buffalo Bills, but the Cincinnati Bengals. And you've really seen the strength of the NFL community rally together in a time like this, because what occurred on Monday was an absolute nightmare. It's everyone's worst fear. It's something that I couldn't even have imagined. You know some of the risks that you do partake when you go through the sport of football, but you never would have thought that a player would have needed CPR on the field. And that's another thing. all the medical professionals, clearly from the people in the hospital, but right away, the people that were on the field first responding, they saved his life. And those people all involved need to be praised for what they were doing. Now, I know some will say that it's their jobs, but the way that they were able to act so quickly and the way that they were literally able to save his life, all that have been involved in the response process and hopefully the eventual full recovery process, just absolute salute to everyone that is involved. And once again, I just had a smile on my face all throughout the day when I was going to get my lunch, and I see all these breaking news reports that he was awake and all these reports that he was able to write and communicate and ask, you know, who won the game and things like that, and then hear about some of the way that people have been responding to this story and that his loved ones have been with him and he's been able to squeeze their hand and obviously continue to make progress. Just when you kept on hearing those stories throughout the day and then eventually you hear the doctor speak and then the Buffalo Bills speak as well, it is encouraging and it's so awesome just to finally hear some good news where now you know that he's awake and where the communication process of him is at. And there's still a long ways to go, obviously still in critical condition. When you look at everything that has transpired, this is, for what has been an awful situation, the best that it could probably be at, I would imagine, at this point. And the fact that, once again, he is neurologically intact, or it appears to be, and that they just keep on saying he's making steady progress, it's awesome to hear those things and to hear those words being said by not only the Buffalo Bills, his family, and then medical officials as well. Let's hear from, and we'll play some sound right out of the gate. This is Dr. Timothy Pritz, who says DeMar Hamlin is the winner in life, when DeMar Hamlin wrote to the doctors and him and the family and asked, who won the football game, obviously, on Monday night when he did awake?
To paraphrase one of our partners, you know, when he asked, did we win? The answer is yes. You know, DeMar, you won. You've won the game of life. And that's probably the most important thing out of this. And we really need to keep him at the center of everything else that's going on. And we really want to ensure a good outcome for him.
What a powerful quote that is, that yes, DeMar, you won. You're the winner in life. And now he continues to hopefully get healthier day by day. But to find out these stories in the last 72 hours of the type of person he is and the type of person that he will continue to be, obviously, ever since this did unfolded, and you never want to find out these stories in the way that we had to find them out, but he has been clearly talked about more than anybody since Monday, as he should be. And you get to see stories like what Ty Dunn did author in July of 2021 after getting drafted. And you just hear about his background and his story and how he always just seems to have a positive attitude and a positive approach in life. And he's always willing to help others. So there's no doubt about it that DeMar Hamlin, when we get this news today, that you finally have some real positive things, and you know that he did awake, and that was last night when he was able to open his eyes, it just makes you feel really good from the horrible scene and the scene that made everyone panic that we did see on Monday in Cincinnati. We'll play you one more quote here from Dr. Timothy Pritz. He says DeMar Hamlin has progressed very well in the past 24 hours.
We would like to share that there has been substantial improvement in his condition over the past 24 hours. We had significant concern about him after the injury and after the event that happened on the field, but he is making substantial progress. As of this morning, he is beginning to awaken, and it appears that his neurological condition and function is intact.
It's, you hear that after all we've talked about through this week, and you hear that he's moving both his hands and feet as well. All you could just say is excellent, excellent, excellent news. Let's hear from two players and a coach that were involved in the situation on Monday night. T. Higgins, who was the player that had the collision with DeMar Hamlin, and anyone that is trying to put any blame on T. Higgins, you're just a terrible person, and that should not be the way that we approach this. T. Higgins did nothing wrong, and you got to think about T. Higgins, too, in this situation, because he's playing football, and the two of them will obviously forever, in just an unfortunate way, be linked. But you want to make sure that T. Higgins is in a good headspace, and T. Higgins is also getting the support and the therapy that he will probably need as well, since he was involved in this. But I have a tremendous amount of respect for T. Higgins. Clearly, he is a phenomenal football player, but as we've been discussing since Monday, not only do you think about DeMar Hamlin, and not only do you think about the Buffalo Bills, but you also think of T. Higgins and the Cincinnati Bengals, and you think about all players involved in the NFL, because this could have been anybody, and that's the scary part of this. And you hear players' families talk, and players' families this weekend, they're going to go see their loved ones go out on a football field, and what happened on Monday is everyone's greatest fear that could happen to their loved one while playing the game. This is T. Higgins on his initial reaction to DeMar Hamlin collapsing on the field.
You know, at first, you know, me being a football player, I'm thinking he just, you know, just flopped. One of our guys bumped him. I looked, I think, just like, seen him fall, but, you know, I looked again, I seen what happened. So I just turned my head, trying not to think about it, because I knew it was something crazy and something tragic. But, it was hard. You know, obviously it wasn't in a good place to play for the rest of that game, so I'm kind of glad that we, you know, chose not to play.
And it was the right decision to not continue that game, because you couldn't continue that game. And there was no way, with everyone that was involved and with what everyone just saw, there was no way that Zach Taylor nor Sean McDermott were going to allow their players to continue that game. And what you talk about crediting people in situations that are tough and situations that there's no playbook for. The job that Sean McDermott and Zach Taylor did, and the leadership that they displayed in as tough as a circumstance as you could go through, a circumstance that you can't even imagine, really admirable what those two men did, those two coaches did, and two of the better leaders, obviously, in the NFL. Let's listen to Josh Allen. He says that DeMar Hamlin's father's speech, where he did talk to the team, has the guys ready to play on Sunday.
Mario talking to us as a team, and the things that he kind of told us, and really didn't tell us, he demanded us, you know, and you can't not honor his request to go out there and charge forward, you know, to the best of our abilities. And obviously we'll be playing with, I guess, less heavy hearts now, knowing that, you know, today's news was a lot of tears of joy, I'll tell you that, but to know that that's what he wants, that's what his dad wants, I think guys are excited to get out there.
And you were curious, and no decision would have been the wrong decision, but you were just curious if the Buffalo Bills were going to want to play this weekend. And if they didn't, you wouldn't not have faulted them for a second. I think we all could have understood that decision, as they do have a game up against the Patriots Sunday at 1:00. But a lot of Bills players, when you've heard some of the reporting in the last 24 hours or so, and obviously it's gotten better and better just in terms of the news that we got about the status of DeMar Hamlin, but they've said when DeMar Hamlin's dad spoke to the team, it was very powerful. And then you also get the news that he has made remarkable progress and he's awake and he's been able to communicate via writing. And even though he's still critically ill, he appears neurologically intact and his lungs continue to heal and he's making steady progress. Not that this is over, but it lifts a massive weight off a lot of people's shoulders, where for 2 days or so, you just thought the worst, even though we were all praying and hoping for the best. And to finally get some tangible good news, I'll sound like a broken record player, but I'll say it again. It was just awesome when you got that news today. Let's hear from the Bills head coach, Sean McDermott. He says the Bills as a team decided not to resume the game on Monday night. This is the Bills coach.
After DeMar got loaded into the ambulance, I remember thinking to myself, we're going to need some time, we being the Bills at least. And we're so conditioned to a player is taken off the field who is injured to going right back into, you know, that mode. And so I said to Sean Smith, I said, hey, we're going to need some time here. And again, he was tremendous. And then the way things unfolded from there was really we were in the front of our locker room, not quite out in the hallway at that point, but having conversations amongst ourselves. I think I went in and addressed the team and just felt like overall it was going to be really hard to put them back out there. But I wanted to give them the option to go back out there if they wanted to. And led by Josh and a couple of the other captains, they decided not to go back out there. And
Sean McDermott, he knew they weren't going to return, but he wanted to do right by his players, and he did right by his players. Because you, in a situation like that, you need a leader, and you also have to rely on your guys. And clearly Sean McDermott did that, and I would be shocked. I know that the AP is reporting that they're never going to resume that Bills-Bengals game this year, and then you can get into all the trivial stuff, the scheduling and what happens with the playoff race. But just to see the way that both Sean McDermott and Zach Taylor combined handled that just terrible situation on Monday night, I've said it before, I'll say it again, it was admirable. The leadership they displayed, and then also the players as well in a moment like that, and ultimately the right call was made. So good news on DeMar Hamlin. As day by day, we hope we keep on getting better and better news. And once again, we wish him and his family and all involved nothing but the best. We will take a break here on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. When we come on back, Brandon Erickson is a doctor, and he also played football at Notre Dame. He's going to join us on the other side. Just got a few medical questions from some of the things that we are hearing today in the positive news on this Thursday about DeMar Hamlin. Zach Gelb here with you on CBS Sports Radio.
No one's more locked into the NFL than First and Pod.
Why is it not within the realm of possibility that Geno Smith was a victim of a horrible organization, bad offensive coaching, and then went and played behind three high-level talents and only got spot starts and did okay, by the way?
Well, because it's just, it doesn't really happen that often anymore.
Subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. No one's more locked into the NFL than First and Pod.
Why is it not within the realm of possibility that Geno Smith was a victim of a horrible organization, bad offensive coaching, and then went and played behind three high-level talents and only got spot starts and did okay, by the way?
Well, because it's just, it doesn't really happen that often anymore.
Subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. No one's more locked into the NFL than First and Pod.
Why is it not within the realm of possibility that Geno Smith was a victim of a horrible organization, bad offensive coaching, and then went and played behind three high-level talents and only got spot starts and did okay, by the way?
Well, because it's just, it doesn't really happen that often anymore.
Subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
It is The Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. The best news you'll get all day. DeMar Hamlin has made remarkable progress. He's awake. He's been able to communicate via writing. He is still critically ill, but he appears neurologically intact. Lungs continue to heal, and he's making steady progress. Have a few questions in the medical world, so we will bring on Dr. Brandon Erickson right now. Doc, I do appreciate the time. Thank you for carving out a few minutes for us.
Oh, Zach, no problem at all. What an unfortunate and crazy couple of days it's been.
It has, and I'm surprised, and obviously it's awesome news what we got today, but just your medical opinion on this, it's remarkable that we have encouraging reports now on this Thursday.
It is. And, you know, if you think about what happened a couple of days ago on Monday night, obviously we saw him go down. We assume it wasn't a rhythm of his heart, meaning something happened that the heart stopped beating or beat in a kind of a funny way. And so when that happens kind of in the field or not in the hospital setting, immediately guys start CPR. They put that electrical defibrillator device on. People, you know, have seen these things called AEDs all around. And those are basically little defibrillators that actually are very useful and can help a lot in these situations. And so they were able to kind of get his heart back into a regular rhythm on the field. They had to get it back again when they got to the hospital. And they intentionally then cooled him down and put him under sedation and intubated him, because what they want to do is, when you have an injury like that where you're not pumping blood to all of your vital organs, what you want to do is cool the organs down so they have a much lower need for oxygen, so there's no death that happens in the tissues. And then you slowly rewarm them. So today is about the right day that we should have started hearing news, and it's really encouraging what we've heard so far.
So we also hear that he's still critically ill, but he appears to be neurologically intact. Can you just tell us exactly what that means as we just keep on hearing that this is awesome news today?
Yeah, so the critically ill thing, he's certainly in the intensive care unit. And when you have to be intubated and you have to be sedated, you know, there's other side effects that can happen from that. And so he hasn't completely come out of the woods yet. He's still intubated, so he's not breathing on his own. So what they'll do over the next couple of days is they'll start to run these breathing trials on him and see if he can start breathing on his own. One, meaning his heart and lungs are working okay, and two, that he's awake and alert enough to know that he's supposed to breathe on his own. You know, breathing is something that we just do naturally, but if you have a traumatic injury, sometimes that natural rhythm can get messed up a little bit. So you have to make sure that he can do that on his own. And then when he finally does get extubated, or meaning the tube gets taken out of his throat and he's awake, then they're going to have to run a whole battery of tests on him. So they, you know, they said today he was neurovascular intact, which is excellent. And by that they mean that his kind of gross motor skills are intact. So he could respond to commands. He was moving his hands and feet and things like that. But we have to make sure that when he does wake up, that all the other stuff is okay too. So his ability to write, his ability to talk normally. So those are things that we'll find out about over the next couple of days.
I know the doctor said today that he was able to write and ask through writing who won the game. Like, to me, when I heard that today, that almost didn't even seem real. It's stunning to me, Doc.
It is, and it's pretty impressive that he was one. That tells us a ton of things about him. One, that he was alert enough to do that. Two, that he remembered where he was that day, so he didn't have any type of amnesia. Three, that he was processing things in his brain enough to know that, one, he's a football player. Two, he played in a game. Three, he had an injury. And four, there may have been a game that happened after him. So the amount that goes into such a simple question like that is actually tremendous from a recovery perspective for him. So I'll be interested to hear what he says after they tell him that the game wasn't played.
Yeah, right. Dr. Brandon Erickson here with us. Denny Kellington, who's a part of the Bills staff, he was the one that was giving CPR on the field to DeMar Hamlin. Clearly, he's been someone that has been talked about a lot today, as he should, and a lot of Bills players are posting about him. The immediate response, Doc, I know that in the moment it's all about how people respond, but the immediate response really did save his life.
You're exactly right, Doc. So the immediate response was what made him not only save his life, but hopefully will lead him to be a relatively functional and hopefully essentially back to, you know, quote, normal as he can be. So whenever you have a traumatic injury like he did, where the heart stops and you're not getting oxygen to places, the faster you can get somebody CPR, the more likely it is that they will get good oxygen flow to their brain. And so, you know, we think about CPR. This will be my quick 2-second speech on CPR. If anybody ever sees anybody go down and they don't have a pulse, don't worry about giving them breaths in their mouth. Just give them CPR in their chest. Get about 100 beats a minute. Do it to that Stayin' Alive song that we all hear about, and try to pump their butt as best you can, because there's a lot of reserves from oxygen in the blood. So if you really do good CPR very quickly, you can actually save somebody's life like we saw happen on the field. So it's really impressive.
Obviously, Dr. Brandon Erickson, our main focus is on the recovery of DeMar Hamlin, but there's a lot of people that saw some horrible things on Monday. The mental side of this, just how do you kind of think people get help? Is it just simply by talking to people from what they saw, unfortunately, occur the other night?
It is, and especially, you know, certainly there were a lot of kids watching this, certainly, you know, a football game, a lot of implications from a fantasy football and betting perspective, so a lot of eyes on this game, and obviously very unfortunate when it happened. I thought the players did a great job of kind of, you know, circling around him so that, you know, there weren't a lot of people who were constantly watching this. But you're exactly right. Anytime you see a traumatic injury, anytime there's a trauma that happens, the first step is to understand that, one, you did see a traumatic thing, and so if this is something that's new to you, if you're not comfortable with this, if you haven't seen this, certainly good if you're, you know, if you're a younger person, talk to your parents. They're a great resource. If you're an older person, or, you know, if you don't have access to things like that, certainly calling, you know, helplines. There's a lot of different helplines that you can call. If you're confused about what you saw, if you just need somebody to listen to, certainly any type of primary care doctor, and even an orthopedic surgeon like me, I'm always happy to talk to patients like this, because you really want to make sure that, one, you process what happened, two, you understand why it happened, and three, you know, you put yourself in a situation where you feel comfortable going forward.
Doc, you played football at Notre Dame. What do you think we're going to see on the field Sunday? I know the Bills did talk today that DeMar's father did address them, and they're going to go play, and that's what DeMar Hamlin wanted them to do and will want them to do. I can't even imagine what those players are going through, and you know the power of a locker room, how it could bring a lot of people together.
It is, and my hope is that they rally around him and rally around the fact that he's doing well. I think that was hugely important for the team psyche, because, you know, we each have our own individual psyche, but you hear a lot of times people talk about the psyche of the team, and that's the most powerful thing, especially in football. And so the fact that he's doing well and the team knows that his main focus is to continue what they started at the beginning of the season is really powerful for them, because it's very hard to go out when you know that one of your brothers got hurt, especially hurt in a way like this. You know, guys have, you know, broken bones and ACL tears, and we know that they're going to be okay from those things, and it's not going to affect their, you know, life as a human after football. But when you see something like this, we know that there can be some long-term implications of things that may happen down the road. And so it's really important that he's making the improvements that he has. And just so everybody knows, these are very, very fast and kind of speedy, dramatic improvements that he's making. So hopefully the team can take some solace and be pretty happy with that. And they can do the old, you know, win one for the Gipper, if you will.
What else do you want people to know about this situation, Dr. Brandon Erickson, just with your medical background?
Yeah, no, Zach, it's a good question. I think, you know, one of the things that people should take away from this is that, one, working quickly and working as a team can have really great results. And in this situation, everybody did what they were supposed to do and didn't hesitate. And that's probably what's going to have saved this young man's life. So understanding how much one person can do and how effective people can be is very important too. If you see something like this happen and you're in a situation where you don't have access to medical professionals or AEDs or things like that, simple CPR can be very effective. And then three, that AED thing I told you about before, that defibrillator, those are actually in schools and in movie theaters and airports, and they're pretty much all over the place now. They're usually in a little glass box, and they're in a little kind of pouch. And what they are is it's a little device with two little pads on it, and there's pictures on it on how to use it. I'd encourage everybody to just go online and just look at what that is and see how you put it on somebody and how you use it. It'll take you about 2 minutes to see that. And that way, in case you ever faced in a situation where you're walking by and something happens to somebody and you see one, you know how to use it, because you're as good as any doctor in the field if you can do that.
Before we let Dr. Brandon Erickson run, just to quickly transition to two questions not related to the Buffalo Bills and DeMar Hamlin and what occurred. Lamar Jackson, he has not practiced again. He has this PCL injury. It's now going to be 32 days since the knee injury. A lot of people wonder how much is this contract related from the medical side. Is 32 days a pretty long time here to not be able to get back out there on the practice field?
Yeah, I would tell you, you know, PCL injuries are a little bit tough. So when, you know, guys have ACL injuries, boom, it's surgery, you're out for the season, we know that. PCL injury is kind of similar to what Zach Wilson had a couple of years ago. They are injuries that generally heal okay on their own, but the knee never heals to be the same as it was before the injury. So we see guys that come back from ACL tears, we fix their ACL, they do very well. A PCL, when you have a PCL injury, it generally gets stretched out, but doesn't completely rupture. And it scars in a little bit over time, but it always leaves just a little bit of leftover kind of looseness or laxity to that knee. And to get somebody used to doing that who relies on his ability to scramble and cut and pivot and make guys miss to be successful, it's not that unheard of for him to have missed, you know, the last month or so. You know, we chatted a little bit on the Sunday show that, you know, I was kind of surprised they didn't put him on injured reserve, because we have this idea of how fast we can get guys back, but the reality is, you know, injuries like that take time. And so I don't think it's unreasonable for him to be out, especially with, you know, especially with the situation that the Ravens are in as far as the playoffs are concerned.
And before we let you run, Jalen Hurts with the shoulder injury, we're expecting him to make his return this week, and we'll see how the Eagles are going to handle this. Is there a concern if you're an Eagles fan just because he's been out the last few weeks, or was it more so they thought they were going to clinch? They know they have not yet, but maybe they were just being a little extra cautious the last week or two.
No, I think it was probably the right move regardless of where they were at in the season to hold him out for the last 2 weeks. You know, those SC, or that sternoclavicular injury that he had, you know, just a little bit more significant than those AC injuries that we see, just because it involves everything that's very close to your breastplate or your sternum. And it's not as common of a place to have an injury. So I think it was the right move to hold him out. Now, certainly it's very important for them to win this week, but you may see, and this is just me talking on the side, but, you know, it'd be interesting to see if they do start him or not this week, because with the Giants potentially playing some backups and the Eagles just needing to win, I wouldn't be surprised if maybe they didn't start with him, but he was there in case they needed him in the second half.
We appreciate the time, Dr. Brandon Erickson. Thank you so much.
Zach, I will talk to you on Sunday, brother. Have a nice night.
You got it. There is Dr. Brandon Erickson joining us on CBS Sports Radio. Jalen Hurts, this was actually just released, remained limited in Thursday's practice. There was a video of him throwing today, so we shall see if he does return this weekend, but limited today in practice. But do appreciate Dr. Brandon Erickson joining us to provide some further details on the DeMar Hamlin situation, and we continue to be encouraged by the good news that we did get today.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
No one's more locked into the NFL than First and Pod.
Why is it not within the realm of possibility that Geno Smith was a victim of a horrible organization, bad offensive coaching, and then went and played behind three high-level talents and only got spot starts and did okay, by the way?
Well, because it's just, it doesn't really happen that often anymore.
Subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
The biggest story of the day, DeMar Hamlin has made remarkable progress. He is awake. He's been able to communicate via writing. He even asked via writing who won the game, had the game finish out between the Bengals and Bills. He is still critically ill, but appears neurologically intact, and his lungs continue to heal, and he's making steady progress. So that is the latest, and that is the great news that we got today on DeMar Hamlin. Now, from a football standpoint, in terms of the schedule, there's a lot being thrown out there. I saw Rob Matte today, who works for the AP and is based in Philadelphia. He said the NFL will not resume the Bills-Bengals game. Two people familiar with the decision told Rob. Now, I think we all expected that. With that being said, though, we have not heard that from the NFL yet. All we've heard from the NFL is that that game would not be resumed this week. So, with that being said, I do think, not knowing Rob's sources, I would imagine that's the NFL tipping off Rob and tipping off the Associated Press on what they intend to do, and then maybe you'll get an official announcement tomorrow. But you did have the Buffalo Bills speak today, and this is via Tom Pelissero, and they were asked if they feel ready to play a football game in 3 days. Josh Allen said, I do. Sean McDermott said, I do as well. And both did talk about how DeMar Hamlin's improvement and his father saying DeMar would want them to get back on the field to focus on their goals have helped. So I think it's clear when we were in this waiting period and personally not really caring if games are going to be played or not this weekend. But once you get the encouraging news on DeMar Hamlin, I think that's what the NFL was waiting for to make an official decision on this weekend, because all you heard this week about this weekend was no schedule changes were made yet. And since this is already through the business day of Thursday and tomorrow's Friday, and now the Buffalo Bills, who I do think their voices are very powerful in this, are saying they want to play, we will have a normal, or as normal as you can with these circumstances, week 18 in the NFL in terms of the games being played. But let me just ask you this, Hickey. And I think it's a tough question, especially with what we know with Rob's reporting from the Associated Press that he's been told by two people that they will not resume that Bills-Bengals game. Do you think there is still a chance that they will resume that Bills-Bengals game? Because it's one thing for the Associated Press to report it. The only thing, though, that we've heard so far from the NFL is that that game just not going to be resumed this week. That does not mean that it will be resumed next week, and then maybe they do push everything back a week as you just lose that bye week in between conference championship game and the Super Bowl if they were going to go down that road to kind of determine exactly when the playoffs would actually start, so you could also figure out what the seeding would be as in a level as level playing field as you can, because everyone then would be playing the same amount of games. So long-winded question. Let me get your answer. Do you think there's still a chance they resume Bills and Bengals?
I would say no for two reasons. Number one, I just think it's still too soon to go revisit the place that you just saw your teammate collapse on the ground and have his heart stop for a few minutes. So if there is home field advantage, they meet in the AFC title game or something like that, I think it's a little different because you have a little bit more time and the stakes are higher. But it's kind of basically pick up where the game resumed and have that memory lasting over the both players, sidelines, and the entire stadium just feels not right. And also, too, I just don't think from a logistics standpoint, the NFL can do it and also keep the bye week in between, which it sounds like they are desperate to keep that week off in between the title games and the Super Bowl.
If they're not going to be willing to just say we'll push everything back and they still plan to keep that week, the bye week in between the conference title games and the Super Bowl, then there's no chance of this doing it, of this happening, of this game being resumed. I don't think they're going to resume it based off what you said from the start. I think we're all ready to just move forward from that game and not relive that moment and continue that moment. I think now it's about moving forward, DeMar getting better, and going on to the rest of the schedule. I don't think, even though you could say it benefits the Chiefs if the Chiefs win this weekend, then the number one overall seed, that stuff to me, with what we saw on Monday and what those players directly involved in Buffalo and Cincinnati, I think that it's very trivial and it puts life into perspective that even though the home field advantage could be determined by that and the Chiefs get the number one overall seed because of that, that it's just something that we will all have to live with. Now, there have been a few other scenarios, Hickey, and let's talk through this. There have been a few other scenarios that have been floated out there. This was from Adam Schefter via one of the Hasselbeck brothers. And I think the league actually, the way that Schefter kind of worded it, is considering this. So they would declare Bengals and Bills a tie. And then let's just say if this weekend the Bills beat the Patriots and the Bengals go on to get a victory as well up against the Ravens, the Bengals would then be the three, the Bills would be the two, and then you would have the Kansas City Chiefs being the number one overall seed. So what they have, not this is, we don't know if the NFL is going to do this, but what it was being floated out there was that Kansas City, if they're the number one overall seed or whoever the number one overall seed is, would get a choice of do you want home field advantage or do you want the bye? And I think the reason why that decision would be made is because Kansas City probably, I would imagine, would take the bye because then you're definitely advancing to the second round and you're in the second round. And then the home field advantage or whatever they don't choose would go to the two seed. So therefore, if Buffalo, who if they would have beat Cincinnati, and let's just say we think they're probably going to beat New England, they would have had the number one overall seed. If they get to an AFC title game, then you would have that home title game if Kansas City did take the bye. Because you would tend to agree, right, Hickey, that if you're given the choice of home field or the bye, you'd probably take the bye over home field. Because even though Kansas City, as let's say if then they had to play the first round, would be going up against the Patriots, let's say, or Miami or whoever, you would still think they would win the game, but you never know what could happen. And also, getting your players an extra week of rest, even though sometimes we've seen it not work, it's usually something that players want to take.
There's just no reason why risk an extra game, even though you think it's going to be a win against whoever that seven seed is, or six seed is. It's not worth risking.
When I heard that this morning, I'm not going to lie to you, my first reaction was, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. But the more I thought about it, like, that was my hot take in the moment. I go, why the heck would they do that? But the more I thought about it, I actually think it would be the right course of action. Because I know there's been some talks of maybe just getting rid of the bye week and having an eighth playoff spot. I don't want to see that. And that's coming from someone whose team, right, could actually benefit from having that extra spot. I don't want to see eight teams in the playoffs. But I would actually think that if it goes the way that we think it's going to go, where the Chiefs will be the one seed after this week, and you give them the choice, do you want home field or the bye? You would imagine they're going to take home field, the bye, and then the Bills would end up getting home field advantage, and if they get to an AFC title game, then you have the AFC title game in Buffalo. I also did hear, and this was from Schefter, that they are considering a neutral site AFC title game if the Bills or Bengals are in it, and it's an uneven amount of games and they don't have the higher seed. Let's just say, like, if it was Bengals and Chiefs or Bills and Chiefs, then it would be a neutral site. And one stadium that is being considered, actually, is Lucas Oil Stadium for that neutral site game. I don't think it's a horrible idea, but I hate to take the home crowd out of it in its entirety. Now, you know, Buffalo Bills fans, if they're in an AFC title game, they will travel. We saw them travel in a crazy snowstorm to get to Detroit up against, I think that was Cleveland, the Browns. They were somehow able to get through that snowstorm to get to Detroit, and you had all the Bills fans in Detroit right before their game up against the Browns. How would you feel? And whatever they decide, we'll have to live with, and I don't think it's worth throwing a fit about, but how would you feel about a neutral site AFC title game?
It's a decent option. Like I said, I like the first option you brought up.
I think the first one's
choosing.
The best.
The one seed chooses home field or the bye. I think that's, if you want to say, the most fair in this situation. And it still allows the playoff format to be as normal as possible instead of having a neutral site game. But either one, I think that's still, for the most part, you can live with considering the circumstances.
And the other thing that Schefter said, and even Schefter said he doesn't think this would happen, but one person did say to him, that, you know, wouldn't it be the ultimate sign of sportsmanship if, let's just say, after this weekend, Bills win, Chiefs win, and the Chiefs have the number one overall seed, if the Chiefs just say to Buffalo, hey, if you get to the AFC title game, we've been in the AFC title game for the last 4 years and have hosted it, Buffalo, you could just have it this year. And Schefter even said, if Kansas City is as good as they think they are, it doesn't matter where the game is played. But then Schefter quickly followed it up. That's what someone said to him. But he would think that would be highly unlikely that any team would actually do that, even though it would be a great sign of sportsmanship. Out of all the ideas that I've heard, that decision of home field or the bye in this unusual circumstance is probably the best one. And in a funny way, when I first heard it, I was like, what? Yeah, just make someone the one seed and just go on with normal. But the more I think about it, if Kansas City's the one, you give them the choice, home field or the bye, And assuming they do take the bye, then Buffalo, if they get to an AFC title game, would have home field advantage. So that's probably what I think they could go. Now, they could just simply say, no one obviously could see what happened on Monday night occurring, and we're just going to go with the normal format by winning percentage based off of where everyone's at, even if there is an uneven amount of games and not everyone has played the same amount of games. We'll take a break. We'll come on back on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio, and we'll discuss the future of Lamar Jackson.
No one's more locked into the NFL than First and Pod.
Why is it not within the realm of possibility that Geno Smith was a victim of a horrible organization, bad offensive coaching, and then went and played behind three high-level talents and only got spot starts and did okay, by the way?
Well, because it doesn't really happen that often anymore.
Subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
No one's more locked into the NFL than First and Pod.
Why is it not within the realm of possibility that Geno Smith was a victim of a horrible organization, bad offensive coaching, and then went and played behind three high-level talents and only got spot starts and did okay, by the way?
Well, because it doesn't really happen that often anymore.
Subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.